Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. Now, normally we're usually broadcasting at 6 p.m. every Sunday, but we are live in Turner, Oregon at Aldersgate Retreat for the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists Training Camp. But before we get the show rolling, I'd like to bring on my co-host and brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how you doing today?
I'm good. Good morning, Sifu Rusty.
Good morning. I need more coffee.
How's the camp going so far?
Oh, my goodness. It is doing so great. We had our opening ceremonies and opening class on Friday, and that was a wonderful class. Sifu Valerie Lee started the whole group. There's about 100 women here. Started the whole group on Bagua Zhang basics. And then yesterday was really cool, full day. I'm still kind of sore from yesterday because I was doing a lot of groundwork and some a lot of sword. So my arm's a little wonky, but oh well. But so far it's doing really great. I really look forward to Palma Camp. So yeah, pretty cool stuff.
That's very cool. You know, remember yesterday, I don't know if you ever read it, but I sent you an email because guys are, I'm sorry to all the guys out there listening, guys are stupid. Guys say stupid things. Right? I wrote you this email and said, I promise I will not offend anybody today. So, we're at my daughter's musical last night that she's doing for her high school. I tell my wife exactly this. I wrote Rusty a letter telling her I won't offend anybody. And she looks me in the eye and she says, then you better not be doing the show tomorrow. Because my wife has real confidence in me. Now, this morning, she comes rushing into my room at 9:25 and says, your daughter's hungry.
Uh-huh.
She wants McDonald's. I'm like, dude, I've got a show in 35 minutes. And she's like, then you better move. Because she's got another performance today. So I go to McDonald's and there's literally 10 cars in line, like 30 people in the restaurant waiting to order their food. And I said, I'm not sticking around. So I go to Carl. If you call me from Carl's, I'm waiting for my food. And you're like, well, at least there's 10 minutes before the show. There's no problem. I'm like, you're right. Carl's only 2 blocks away. I don't know when you visited, if you were there or not, but it's in the Albertson Center. And you're like, block? She couldn't have walked? And I went, oh, my gosh. Yes, she could have.
Sorry, but, you know, that's what my mom would have told me. Like, our nearest store was about 8 blocks away from our house. And if we wanted to, you know, if we had the privilege of having a couple dollars from mom or dad, and we wanted to go get something, God forbid if we asked for a ride, right? We would walk because it was a privilege to get that money to go to the store. So it was like, okay, we're fine. Right. We're fine with walking.
And I feel sorry for my daughter. I figured out last night that she's been at her high school for 50, including today, because she's got another performance today, she's been at her high school 57 hours this week.
Wow, that's more hours than a lot of people put in at their job.
Yeah, like 90% more.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Like Tuesday, it was 13 hours. Monday was normal, no rehearsal.
Wow.
So Wednesday was 13. Thursday was 13. Friday was like 11 or 12. Yesterday it was 4.5. Today it's going to be another 4. And now she has to start the whole week, so she's going to be at school every day for 12 days.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been able to, like, deal with that. Oh, my gosh, that's nuts. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, for all our listeners out there, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We are broadcasting live from Turner, Oregon, at Aldersgate Retreat Center for the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists Training Camp. So if you'd like to call in and if you have any questions about this wonderful organization, feel free to call in now, anytime between now and about noonish. It kind of depends on when we get done. But a little bit later, after our first segment, we hope to be talking to some of the board members of the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists and some of the camp participants. Everyone's in class right now, but in about another, I'd say maybe about 45 minutes or so, everyone should be getting out. So hopefully we can start talking to people and stuff. But with that said, why don't we go ahead and get the show rolling? So why don't we go ahead and start with our, let's go ahead and start with birthdays and shout-outs. I see you've got a few birthdays there, Sifu Bob.
I do. I want to wish a good friend of the show. You've met her. I know her. And she just had a baby about 10 weeks ago. In fact, she was at this year's Masters, and she was very pregnant at the time. Sifu Dahlia Bad.
Oh, yes.
Ashley Page, which is a radio talent down in Los Angeles. James Woodson, which was a Masters Hall of Fame nominee. He was, first off, Sifu Dahlia's birthday is on the 14th. Ashley and James is on the 15th. I want to put a shout out to a friend that used to work at Inside Kung Fu Magazine. He's a master in, I can't ask you to help me out because you don't know him. I forgot what he is a master in. I'm stalling because I'm trying to think, what art does he do? And I just can't, and of course it's going to come to me, and I'm going to shout it out because it's very important. Master Harry Wong. And another master in the Taekwondo art is Jamie Cashin. His birthday is also on the 15th of this week.
Oh, right on.
So I'm still stalling. I can't remember. Kung Fu Sansu.
Oh, Sansu. Okay.
Yeah, he's a Sansu master.
Got it. Right on. Okay, I'm going to look here to see if I've got any friends with any birthdays. Let's see.
I'm going to look here to see if I have any friends.
Oh, let's see here. I want to do a shout-out to... Well, actually, this one's not actually happening until next Sunday, so I'm just going to go ahead and save it. So, but let's see here. I think that's it. A lot of the birthdays that you mentioned, I already have, like Sifu Dahlia's. But wait, we've got, I'd like to put a shout out to Shaolin Temple, New York. Or at least it just says NY. So Shaolin Temple Nye's birthday, 33 years old. So shout out to them. A good friend of mine from the other side of the mountains, Chelsea Whittinger. From the Clan McSoy, and for any of my friends out there that know who the Clan McSoy is, then that's pretty cool. What's that? Oh, I'll wave you down. Okay, yeah, I'll just jump up and down. Yeah, I'll do a little dance. Sorry about that. Sensei Lori O'Connell, one of the first time instructors here at camp, just came by to say, hey, you know, if you need me, just jump up and down. So I'll jump up and down here in a little bit.
Well, when you broadcast live, you got to put a red blinking light on your table that says on air. Don't bother me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted her to come talk to me anyway. But I've got my handy dandy tablet with our logo facing out. So, you know, and it doesn't quite say on air, but it's got our logo facing out. So. It's kind of a hint that, hey, we're on.
Well, that'll be really useful because then if somebody doesn't listen, just comes up and starts talking to you, you can just turn around and hit them with it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So again, listeners, 347-677-0699. I know it's early, folks, and I know it's Sunday. But if you happen to be listening, give us a call, because it's, you know, especially if you're a woman in the martial arts, this is one of the oldest organizations in the United States that specializes in training and support and networking for women and girls in the martial arts. And I wanna get rid of a couple stereotypes, but we'll do that after our first segment, because there are a bunch of stereotypes whenever you hear something about an organization that's like, you know, women's only, you know what I mean? A lot of stereotypes, and I want to dispel those myths when it comes to this particular organization. So, but let's move on.
I know one.
What's that? Yeah.
I know one of the stereotypes. I will not say that, though.
Exactly, because it's well, I'm going to address that, too. I'm going to address all the stereotypes about, you know, women's only organizations and stuff like that, because, you know, there is such a stigma behind anything that, you know, you hear the word, you know, women's only or feminist, and God forbid if you use the word feminist, right? Because it's turned into such a dirty word.
Can of worms, like, you wouldn't believe.
Well, yeah, well, it opens up a can of worms, and it opens up, like, ugly stereotypes, and unfortunately, these types of stereotypes are male-oriented. It comes from your side. It comes from our side too. But that's why I want to kind of address those here a little bit later. So that way we get our daily dose of controversy for each of our shows, cuz we always have to have that, right?
You know, we have a caller. Why do we have a caller?
We have a caller. Let's find out. Oh, it looks like Skype. So it looks like a Skype caller. Skype caller, area code 111. Who's this?
This is Sifu Douglas Wong. How are you?
Hi, Sifu Doug. How are you?
Great,
wow.
Great. How you doing? So
really
you're up
good.
There. That's great. Get Ready Training Camp. My wife was in there many years ago with my kids. They got to do a demo up there. So it's a great organization. I've been up there to watch some of the stuff. But, you know, I got to see my wife and my kids demonstrate, so I got to see the whole show and presentation. But it's a great organization.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for calling in and confirming that, because, you know, it's I can't say enough good things about it. In fact, I kind of wonder why it took me this long to discover the organization.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys can hear it, but we're having a blast in the background. There's a jiu-jitsu seminar going on in the corner there, and I've got like two of them in the auditoriums behind me, because I'm like right in the middle of everything right now. It's kind of cool.
If you happen to see Angela Lee, tell her hello for me.
I will. In fact, I saw her yesterday at breakfast. I sat with her yesterday at breakfast. I will tell her that you say hello. Definitely.
Yeah, she's one of my old students from way back, and when she was down here in Los Angeles area, then she moved back up north and studied other systems and stuff like that. But I always wish her the best, for sure.
Oh, awesome. You bet. Yeah, she's teaching. Is she teaching right now? I don't know where my schedule is, but I think she's teaching right now. I forget, but yeah, she's had a couple of great workshops already. I think today she's doing a workshop on healing with chi, and another workshop. But yeah, like some of my friends here are rooming with her, and they can't say enough good things about her. So awesome.
She's a great person for sure.
Yes.
I just thought I'd call in and say hello, and, you know, I'll be listening to the rest of the show.
Awesome.
And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much for calling, Sifu.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Have a good one. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank
you. Uh-huh. Bye.
You know,
all
Rusty,
right.
I love Doug Wong. I absolutely love that man.
I do, too.
So
I do, too.
Everything we do.
It is, and it's such an honor to have him. You know, calling in and stuff like that. And for anyone that's listening, for those of you that don't know who Sifu Doug Wong is, a very long time practitioner of the martial arts. In fact, I knew he was like a household name to me even when I was coming up as a kid. And, you know, and to be able to speak with them nowadays, it's such an honor. It's such a joy. And, you know, and that was, we were just speaking to Sifu Doug Wong of White Lotus Kung Fu. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. So
and
anybody else?
I kept forgetting to tell him, Rusty, I saw him demo at a Tot My Wong tournament. Like, oh my, the early 90s.
Yeah, I consider like the early or the late or the mid 80s to like early 90s to be kind of like the almost like the Renaissance years of martial arts, right? Because, you know, it was, you know, kind of during the, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle craze and people really, you know, getting into, hey, you know, let's mix arts and stuff like that. Kajikembo really started getting bigger, more into the mainstream, and Kali, and, you know, everything started going toward that sense of, like, let's blend the arts. and great era. Awesome. Okay, where were we? We were at... Oh, we were talking about the word feminist, right?
Yeah, we were talking about the stereotypes that goes along with a female-only organization, a woman-only.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm not PC. I don't know what the word is, except we know you guys like to be called little people.
Yeah. Actually, you know, you have to be under 4'11 to be considered a little person. But anyway.
Right.
Okay. So, but I'll get into that after our first segment. So why don't we go ahead and move on to, we're going to do this a little bit backwards. We're going to have Sifu Bob do weird news and weird laws first. And then I'll go into health news as soon as I can figure out where my health news went. So let's do that. Oh, okay. So I'll hand the mic over to you, Bob.
Okay. I was waiting for my intro, but that's okay. You can just hand the mic over to me.
Yeah, I can. Well, I now I got to find it. Here we go. Here we go. Weird news. Here we go.
Weird news.
Yeah. Woohoo.
This strange stuff this week. Well, last week was really weird, but this is weird in itself. An Ohio man is finding out there's no easy way to come back from the dead. Here's what that means. Donald Miller went to court this week to ask a county judge to reverse a 1994 ruling that declared him legally dead after he disappeared from his home 8 years earlier. But the judge turned down his request, citing a 3-year time limit for changing a death ruling. Who put a limit on changing a death ruling? Because that doesn't happen, right?
That makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Right. Hancock County probate court judge Alan Davis called it a strange situation. We've got the obvious here. A man sitting in the courtroom. He appears to be in good health, and said Davis, who told Miller the 3-year limit was clear. I don't know about I don't know where that leaves you, but you're still deceased as far as the law is concerned, the judge said.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. Really? The guy's sitting in front of the judge going, I'm here. And the judge said, no, you're not, you're dead.
No, you're not, you're dead.
Miller resurfaced about 8 years ago and went to court so that he could get a driver's license and reinstate his social security number.
Hmm.
His ex-wife had opposed the move, saying he doesn't have the money to repay the social security benefits that were paid out to her and the couple's 2 children after Miller was declared dead. So over the years, his wife was getting all these social security benefits.
Wow.
And now, of course, because he was missing, she expects him to pay them back.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I would have said, no, thank you. That's your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Robin Miller said her former husband vanished because he owed big child support payments and that the overdue amount had totaled $26,000 by 1994. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now, see, I know a guy who will not get a job because his wife will start collecting alimony or in child support. He owes her over $100,000, and he refuses to go to work because then she can garnish his wages,
you know,
instead of doing the right thing. Now, yeah, Miller,
I mean,
I'm going to
say something about that later when you're done. But go ahead.
Am I going to want to hear it?
Huh? No, I mean, I'm
sorry. Am I going to want to hear it?
I'm just gonna pretty much say, come on, you know, get a job.
Miller, who is now 61, who lives in the northwest Ohio city of Forestaria, told the judge that he disappeared in the 1980s because he had lost his job and was an alcoholic. He lived in Florida and Georgia before returning to Ohio around 2005. His parents told him about his death when he came back to the state, he said. It kind of went further than that, than I ever expected it to, Miller said. I just kind of took off, ended up in different places. So he just slumped everybody off. He just went, if I'm gone long enough, don't consider me dead.
Yeah, I guess it worked.
It did work.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's nuts. Now, we're going to go right on to weird laws. Of course, this week, I also picked two countries because I needed to fill up airtime. First, we're going to Ireland.
Ireland.
We only had one weird law. Yeah. And you figure if it has to do with Ireland, it must have to do with alcohol, right?
Right.
That's what I figure. Any person who shall pretend or exercise to use any type of witchcraft, sorcery, enchantment, or pretend knowledge in any cult or craft or science shall for such offense suffer imprisonment at the time of 1 whole year and shall be obligated.
Wow.
Basically to good behavior from then on.
Oh, wow.
So even if you know about witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you pretend or even know about it,
mm-hmm.
you're done.
Shoot. That sucks.
Now, in Germany, a pillow can be considered a passive weapon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost read that again because it bears repeating.
Yeah, I had to read that again too.
It is illegal for one's car to run out of gas on the highway.
Huh.
Well, that sucks.
It is illegal to wear a mask when going on strike.
What the hell?
Yeah. Every office must have a view of the sky, however small. So if you've got a business or something in there, if you have an office, it better have a window in it.
Aww.
And that is the end of my weird laws and my weird news for this Sunday.
Woohoo! And that was Bob.
Weird news.
All right. Well, since we're doing things a little bit backwards, let's get into the health news now. All right. Okay. Now, there's no ifs, buts, or whats about it. You and I, we're getting older, Bob. And unfortunately, as we get older, and older starts with by the time you hit like 30. After 30, it's all downhill from there. A lot of times people think that, older is like 60 and stuff. But here's the thing, though. If you keep healthy, if you keep eating right, you know, and stuff like that, you know, no matter what, we're going to keep healthy in older years. But this is a notice for everyone that's technically over 40. There are several nutrients you might be missing that could be very helpful in keeping you healthy. So here are 9 of them, because getting this adequate nutrition can be a challenge for us when we get a little older. The number of calories that we need begins to decline, which is like in my case, you know, all the calories are going to my gut. And unfortunately, you know, we do have to watch what we eat, because every calorie that we take in should have the right amount of nutrition in order to keep up with us, because our, you know, we need different stuff. So one of the things that we need is vitamin B12. And B12 is important for creating red blood cells and DNA and helping with nerve function. And getting enough B12 is a challenge for us because for some reason we can't absorb it from food as well as, like, let's say teenagers or people in their 20s. Even if our diet contains enough, we could be falling short because of our lack of absorption of it. So a hint on how to hit the mark on it is that you want to eat more foods rich in B12. Even the supplements that you find in the stores and stuff, that might not even work because of the absorption level. And depending on the type of supplements you're taking. So good sources of B12 include fish, meat, poultry, eggs, milk and milk products. However, you do need to talk to your doctor when you take a B12 supplement. And it does work with nerve function. When I injured my back, I was told to take heavy B12. But the only thing is that it does turn your urine like a really deep orange, and you might think that there's something wrong with you. But I had to go on a heavy B12 therapy. So, I mean, you know, if you just eat, you know, B12 foods, you should be okay. All right, folate or folic acid. The shortages of this essential B vitamin can cause anemia and can increase the risk of a pregnant woman having a baby with a neural tube defect. Older people whose diets don't include a lot of fruits and vegetables or fortified breakfast cereals may be falling short. Now, to get enough of this, you want to make sure that if you do eat breakfast cereals, that they're fortified with folate. And if you don't eat breakfast cereals, make sure that you get a lot of fruits and vegetables and ask your doctor if you should take a supplement that contains folate. All right, now here's another kicker, calcium. A lot of times we tend to fall short on calcium. a lot of people think it's just a women's only thing for calcium because of osteoporosis and stuff, but it falls short in men too. You know, other than being good for the bones, it's essential so your body won't leach calcium out of your bones. So you want to make sure that you take in enough calcium so that way your bones don't go brittle. And that's why your bones do go brittle, because your body will leach it out of your bones. A lot of people think, oh, you know, that your bones will just all of a sudden go brittle. But no, your body has to leach it out in order to use it. So it's very important that we have calcium. So how do you get enough of this? So, okay, of course, dairy products. but food types of things include kale, broccoli, and don't forget juices that are fortified with calcium. So a lot of orange juice these days have calcium in it. What else is in here? Let's see. Oh, and a doctor says that if you're gonna get calcium, the best way to do it is through dairy products, cheese, milk, goat milk, whatever, or even soy milk or almond milk that's fortified with calcium. Don't do the supplements. don't do the supplements if you have access to dairy products and these types of foods. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't take them, but if you are intolerant to dairy products, then definitely ask your doctor about taking a supplement, and they'll be able to steer you toward a supplement that is readily absorbing. So, all right, and let's see. I think we've got a couple more here. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. Somebody posted something on Facebook last night that I thought was funny, and now I'll eat almost anything. I'm not a big sushi fan, but there's a lot of things I'll eat because it's good. It may not be good for me, but it's good tasting, right?
Uh-huh.
Chris Knutson posted last night that he cut, split, hauled away 3 truckloads of wood while working up an appetite. So what does he do? He goes and gets a 20-ounce hillbilly burger. Now, here's what the hillbilly burger consists of.
Okay.
Two beef patties, egg, bacon, ham, and a 12, and he got 2 12-ounce Pepsis. And I commented, I said, does that burger come with its own cardiologist?
I know.
See, they are insane.
That is a heart attack in a bag.
I know.
He ate that all himself?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I remember one time I saw a guy. It wasn't like a crazy burger like yours, but it was like McDonald's, you know, meal or whatever. But the guy had a 2-liter bottle and was swinging out of the 2-liter bottle, and I had just about puked looking at that. Now, don't get me wrong. I like me a good quarter pounder. I'll get a quarter pounder once a month because I like the way they taste. It's, you know, it goes back to my childhood. But to watch this guy swig down from a 2-liter bottle, and there was just something wrong about it.
Right, yes.
It just, blah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay. Back to the nutrients that we could be missing as we get older. Vitamin D. Now, earlier I talked about calcium. Now, vitamin D is important because it allows your body to absorb it, and it helps maintain your bone density and prevent osteoporosis. Now, some recent findings suggest that vitamin D can probably also protect against some other chronic diseases, including, get this, cancer, type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and other autoimmune diseases. Now, in older people, and again, folks, you know, when I say older people, it can start from anywhere between 30 to 40. So, you know, don't wait till you're 70. That's too late. You're already going to be, you know, hunchbacked or, you know, brittle bones and stuff like that. But anyway, vitamin D deficiency has been linked to increase the risk of falling. Many Americans still fall short on this very important vitamin, vitamin D, which is mainly produced by the skin when exposed to sunlight. Now, a lot of foods nowadays already have vitamin D in it, including milk, cereals, yogurts, juices. However, few foods naturally contain vitamin D. Only a few. It can be found in salmon, tuna, and eggs. And right now, research is debating whether or not the recommended level of vitamin D for optimal health should be at a certain level. Because, like, some people will say, oh, you need this many milligrams. Other people will say you need this many milligrams. There's still a toss-up as to what the recommended level really should be. But, you know, no matter what, many experts do think that older people need to be taking vitamin D supplements because our skin tends to be less efficient at producing this vitamin from sunlight as we age. And definitely as we age, we don't want to be out, you know, tanning like a movie star as much because it can increase our risk of skin cancer also. So all this stuff that happens when we get older, it kind of sucks.
Well, you know, remember last week I finished his birthday shout out to my brother because he's turning 59. Mm-hmm. And he called me up this week on his birthday and said, "Hey, old man," and he says, "And he says in 6 months you'll need geritol." I said, "But I still can't get the senior discount at Denny's yet, like you can." And then he says, "And where does it always go? Because I've got this male pattern baldness going. I've still got my hair."
Yeah,
that's all he had. That's all. It was like,
that's all he had.
God,
but you can still run circles around. I know, really. You can still run circles around him. All right, I'm gonna make this.
Oh yeah, he's like 6'3", but he's like 350.
Oh, crimey! Yeah, you can run circles around him. All right, I'm gonna make this really quick so we can go ahead and take a short break and talk to some people. Okay, so another thing that we're missing in our diet is potassium. Now you'll notice that a lot of these supplements and vitamins are geared toward keeping our structure strong, our bones, our spine, that kind of thing. And potassium also keeps your bones strong. This is one of the essential minerals that's vital for cell function. And it's also been known to help reduce high blood pressure and the risk of kidney stones. However, surveys show that many older Americans don't get the recommended 4,700 milligrams of potassium a day. A day. Now, that sounds like a lot. Because I've actually seen just what a milligram is, and I've put 10 milligrams of something on a little scale, and I go, whoa, you know, homie, it seems like a lot. And I'm waiting for the phone to light up going, what are you weighing on the little scale, Sifu? Okay.
Yeah, I know, so am I. Just don't get caught with that scale in, like, King County.
probably another 10 minutes. It's primarily snuff, nasal snuff, and electronic juice. Yeah, you bet, right? All right, potassium. Fruits and vegetables definitely are the richest dietary sources of potassium. Banana, prunes, plums, potatoes, with their skin, well, with the exception of bananas, but with their skin are particularly rich in potassium. Now, help yourself to those fruits and vegetables at every meal because you'll get enough potassium. That just a regular day of, like, fruits, vegetables, you know, potatoes, bananas, just stuff like that. You'll be getting your 4,700 milligrams of potassium a day. Now, if you're considering taking potassium, slim into your doctor first because, you know, it's a problem if we have too little potassium. Too much can be detrimental to your health. So, you know, talk to your doctor if you're going to take supplements. Okay, magnesium. That's another one. Magnesium is important for 300 different physiological processes in your body. Some of these processes are keeping your immune system in top shape, keeping your heart healthy, keeping your bones strong. Again, your bones strong. Now, many whole foods, including vegetables, contain magnesium. But it's often lost in the processing. So, you know, a lot of people say, you know, if you're going to cook your vegetables, only blanch them so they're crisp, tender. You overcook it, it'll get rid of a lot of the good nutrients and stuff. And to an extent, that's true. Now, the absorption of magnesium decreases with age. So, depending on the medications that we take, including diuretics, those could reduce magnesium absorption. So, you know, make sure that you get enough of foods such as fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, whole grains, beets, and seeds. They all have great amounts of magnesium in it, and you want to make sure that you go more toward the unprocessed food. So no TV dinners that contain too much sodium and junk like that. Okay, last but not least, fiber. Fiber is crucial in making sure that the food that moves through your digestive tract moves through smoothly. So
that was a very elegant way to put it.
Yeah, right. You know, I was going to say prevents you from getting constipated, but it's the same thing. Now, foods rich in fiber include whole grains, beans, fruits, vegetables, you know, as well as keeping things kind of flowing smoothly through your plumbing. It also is known to protect against heart disease. So if you don't eat a lot of these types of fiber-rich foods, then it's probably a sure thing that you're not getting enough fiber. And, you know, by the time you get constipated, that's too late. So make sure that you're eating a lot of whole grains, nuts, beans, fruits, vegetables, and be creative. You know, a lot of people go, I hate vegetables, blah, 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 right? But, you know, you can, there are plenty of ways to get your vegetables. Like, for example, try adding cranberry sauce to your turkey and whole wheat bread sandwich. You know, try pumpkin seeds, blueberries, you know, make smoothies, you know. And
yes, exactly. Make smoothies. Take some V8. That stuff's great and has a lot of servings of fruits and vegetables.
I do. I love it. Yeah, my mother absolutely loves making smoothies. I got her, like, one of these magic bullet, you know, thingies or whatever.
Oh, those are great.
Those are great. All she needs is bananas, a little bit of oatmeal, and whatever else. I mean, you know, bok choy and celery, those are great to put in. Well, not too much celery because it's like got a lot of sodium in it, but bok choy is great because it doesn't have a flavor all its own. And it's mainly water. And she just puts in everything in their V8, a little bit of pomegranate juice, maybe like half an apple, bananas or whatever. And, you know, and it comes out this funky looking color. But I tell you what, it's good. And just out of curiosity, she, like, just put a bunch of stuff together, pureed it, and heated it up. And it was like this, like, pureed soup. It was great. And I'm like, you know, more kids should be actually going for this. Because, you know, when you're on the go, that's how I eat a lot of breakfast. Mom just makes me a smoothie and sends me out the door, and there's my breakfast. It's like, oh, okay. So that's cool.
Now
all right.
Listeners, take into consideration that Sifu Rusty is 47. And her mommy still makes her breakfast and sends her out the door. Now, that heated up smoothie, that sounds absolutely disgusting.
Well, I mean, think about it, though. I mean, what is like cream of mushroom? What is cream of vegetable soup? What, it's just like a consommé or a puree, right?
Right, right.
Well, consommé is more like the strain.
Doug Wong just posted a picture of yesterday, and he is with Mike Stone, Leo Fong, Gerald Akimura.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell everyone we say hello, Seafood Doug. Tell everyone we say hello. Kudos and hello from Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio.
I wish I'd gone to, but I didn't have a chance because my wife was coming in on the train and my daughter had this thing going. I thought I didn't have a chance. They were involved in this monster. I'm sorry, Seafood. I'm going to blow it. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Jim and Al Young and James Liu. And those guys all get together at this event and talk. They're actually on stage. And I thought that was really cool. Now, I'm trying to get Al Young on the show, which would be awesome. I used to live next door to Gold Box. I've also got an email into James Liu for the same thing. That would be awesome. Actually, I wouldn't mind doing a stuntman show. Have Al Young, James Liu.
Yeah, I think we should do that. I think a stunt person show would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Gene LaBelle on. Three on. And I'd also like to do I know we've done women's shows before, but I'd like to do a show dedicated to the martial arts legends of the 80s. That'll include, like, Graciel Castillas and maybe Kathy Long or Cheryl Wheeler or those people.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. That would be perfect.
Talk about breaking this off and going on a tangent, though. Jeez,
I know, right? Okay, what's wrong with us? That's what we do on Dynamic Dojo. All right, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. Why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and take a short break because we're kind of like overdue for a short break. And then when we come back, we hope to talk to a few people from the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists. We are broadcasting live from Aldersgate Retreats in Turner, Oregon. I've got classes going on all around me. I'm seeing bodies flying and size moving and bows flying and stuff like that. So, you know, stay tuned, everyone, and learn a little bit more about this wonderful organization. We'll be right back after this.
Up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you your tears. Go ahead, release your fears. My, oh my, you gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together.
Getting out, right? But we are now joined by a first-time camper and new instructor to Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists. But first, Sifu Bob, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can barely hear you, but I can hear you okay.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got Sensei Lori O'Connell with us. Hi, Sensei. How are you?
Hi. I'm really great. I'm happy to be here. It's a wonderful event.
Right on. So can you tell us a little bit about, number one, how you heard about PAMA, what attracted you to PAMA, and well, your overall experience here at PAMA?
Honestly, I can't remember how I found about it first. It was either you,
uh-huh.
because we have our meeting online,
uh-huh.
or it was because of the association with Keiko Fukuda Sensei. And either way, I love the sound of it, and you know, with my school being on the Pacific Coast, I thought it was a really good fit, and it definitely is, I have to say.
Awesome. How's the sound, Bob? Can you hear us okay?
Help us out with what?
Can you hear us okay?
I barely. Actually, I can hear her better than you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because she's closer to the mic than I am.
Oh, okay. And it's a lot easier for her to call in this time better than last time, huh?
Yeah. She's sitting right next to me. Yeah.
That always helps.
Awesome. So what was your experience so far?
Well, what I really like about this event so far is that it's an incredibly supportive environment. It doesn't even appear to be any ego mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is so congratulatory of any experience, regardless of a person's training, amount of training, whether they're very new to the martial arts or have 25, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, like, is taking away something and keeping an open mind for all the different things that are being taught. And it's just an absolutely eye-opening experience to see this in a martial arts event where it's so uniformly accepting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say, Lori, do you know why that is, that there's no ego up there? You're missing something up at that camp. You know that, right? To get ego-driven, you're missing testosterone to have ego-driven.
Missing makes it sound like we wish it was here.
Yeah, I know. That's a good one.
Missing is sometimes good.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was gonna say too, Bob. And I guess this isn't omnidirectional, Mike. I guess it's unidirectional. But you know what I've noticed a lot too is because we've all been to like a bunch of seminars, right? And I've yet to see a seminar be ruined by a woman. Unless, of course, she's like bitching and moaning about it's too hot, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, that's the thing, is that there are no egos here. So you know, it helps a lot. It helps a lot. But
and one thing I'd like to add to that is, absence of ego doesn't mean absence of fire.
Right.
These
right.
women are working really hard, and really when they train and they're doing sparring or grappling or anything like that, they are putting their energy into it. They are driven, they are focused, but it's not testosterone based. Like, they're not like banging heads and getting all, you know, huffed up about it. And
mm-hmm.
if they lose, they're not, you know, walking off irritated. As soon as they're done their sparring or grappling match, they shake hands and very congratulatory. They're like, wow, that move you did, that was so awesome. No, that move that you did was so awesome. Like,
uh-huh.
it's more that kind of environment. Not to say that that's absent with male training, but it's just really amazing that there isn't people butting heads, really. I think it's because a lot of the women probably feel that in their usual training environment that they're facing greater physical challenges, because most of the time they're sparring and grappling with men.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, we're all kind of kindred spirits here. We've all experienced that, being on the physical, mental, or physical or disadvantage, whether it's reach or size or strength.
Uh-huh.
So even if somebody does have a size, strength, or reach advantage, so everybody here has experience being on the other side of it, or has, you know, has some experience seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that people kind of recognize that and just don't need to afford any skill or size advantage they might have over their partners here.
Right, right. Super Bob, do you have any other questions?
Now, yeah, I was curious. Do the ranks really range from the beginner to the Shihan or the Cijo level? And if they do range that far, Sensei, do you develop a class around what they're wearing around their waist?
You can answer that one.
What's that? Well, I think he was asking you that.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I don't really know. I mean, it just seems like people are invited to put proposals for what they teach, and if they like the course ideas, then they'll get chosen. It doesn't seem to be based on their rank.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, do you develop the class based on their rank?
Oh.
Or so do you just, for, you know, from the beginner to the... to the Shion, or do you just, is it just like teaching class view, or is the curriculum changed?
I guess what he's saying, Sensei, is, you know, when you teach a class, you base the class based on the belt ranks of the people that are attending.
Oh, or belt ranks based on their experience level with what I'm teaching, because all the different styles have different experience levels with the material I'm offering.
Mm-hmm.
I have to apologize because I'm teaching the very next class, so we're gonna let it go. But thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
Good luck with the rest of the show.
You bet. Thanks. Have a great class. All right. So that was Sensei Lori O'Connell. I'm gonna go ahead and change my nearby. I'm gonna change my
change your mic back.
Change my mic back, because all of a sudden I can't figure out my mic was like plugged in. Oh, there we go. I'll go back in here and change that so that I can actually hear myself. Can you hear me okay? All right.
I can hear you fine now. Perfect.
Okay. All right. So, and again, that was Sensei Lori O'Connell from Kanryu Jiu-Jitsu. She's taught several classes today. Let me double-check what classes. Or she's going to teach several classes today, but she's been teaching all weekend. Yay! And I've got several of her students over here. Too bad you gotta go do that class, because I want to talk to you too eventually. But you want to talk? No? Okay. Bye bye. I was gonna try to get one of Sensei Lori's students to come out and talk with us, but I guess she's like, oh hell no. But let me just go over the teaching schedule. Again, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-9999. We are broadcasting live from Aldersgate Retreat in Turner, Oregon, and we are at the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists Training Camp. And this is our second live broadcast from Palma, but the first broadcast on Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. Last year we did it off of Modern Combat Masters, which was the show that I do with Grandmaster Daryl Sargent. But here is the lineup of the great instructors that we have here at Pomo. We've got Sifu Marietta De La Cruz of Chinese Kenpo and Okinawan Kenpo. And she's teaching single stick and double stick Eskrima, Doce Pares, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to have to...
Ah.
Yeah, I didn't know that she was Doce Pares, so I'm going to have to, like, go to remind her that, hey, we're sisters. She's also she also taught alternative sparring, so different drills for sparring that go just outside the regular old, like, you know, round-based sparring. And, I already said Sinawali. Then we also have Sensei Joanne Factor from Shitoryu Karate, and she taught basic Bo. Another workshop that she's going to be teaching later on today called Bunkai Blitz, meaning basically teaching that it's one thing to know the meaning of your forms, but another to actually see how they work with a partner. Because, you know, we can always say, oh, yeah, this is going to block a low kick, and this is going to then you can punch or whatever, but really, how's it going to work? So, you know, you have to kind of think outside of the box when it comes to your form rather than looking at, you know, the cut-in-stone variation of your bunkai. So that's going to be a great workshop. And then tomorrow she's going to be teaching Stance Dance Revolution, which is a great way of playing with the transitions of your stances and to actually use your stances and see how important they are in being able to do stuff like take people down or sweep. Because a lot of people just think that, oh, it's about tripping and this and that and the other, and it's like, eh, no, it's really about your stance. Okay, another great teacher we have is Master Terry Giammartino, who is actually one of the founding mothers of PAMA. She was around during the early days when the camp was very rustic, basically tent, and you're on your own, basically, you know, like, you know, hunt for your dinner type of thing, right? So, yeah. And she's going to be, hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
You wanna talk with us for a little bit?
I've never done this.
Oh, just come on down. So we've got Patty Olinger from the board, from the PAMA board, talking with us. So give us a sec here, Bob, while I switch out our mics. Let's try this again.
I can do that.
We can do that. Let's see here. I've got to figure out where my... Yeah.
We have the technology. We have the erector set. For those of you who remember erector set.
Yeah.
And these are the challenges of broadcasting live.
Too many wires going on here. Let's see here. Okay, I think we're set.
Don't worry, people. I'm carrying on a conversation all by myself and doing just fine.
Thanks for talking. Let me double check these ones here. Say something, Bob.
Say something, Bob. How's
okay,
that?
Cool.
Is that better? Can you hear me?
Get out of here. So now you can hear what's going on. Okay.
Be careful. She might not want to.
All right. So we get to talking to that little mic right there. So we have, why don't we go ahead and start with this. So, Patty, if you could tell our listeners who you are and where you are on the board and your experience with PAMA. Let's go ahead and start with that.
Okay. My name is Patty Olinger, and I am a black belt in a style called Muay Thai Kung Fu. I've been a member of PAMA for, almost 25 years now, but currently I'm the vice president of PAMA, and it's sort of a big part in coordinating the camp, and love doing it just because it's just amazing to see so many women having so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Did you study with Master Doug Wong?
Master who?
Doug Wong?
No.
Oh, okay, because he just called in. He's a Grandmaster White Lotus. I was just wondering.
No, my style is called Mo Duk Pai.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you through the mic. I apologize.
That's okay.
I guess we have to, like, really get our lips on there.
No, my teacher is named Sifu Fred King.
Ah.
But anyway, about PAMA.
Yeah, about PAMA. Yeah. So you've been on the board for several terms now.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about, number one, what's the board about? Because, you know, a lot of times, first I got to make sure Bob can hear me.
I can.
Okay, cool. So, because a lot of times, you know, when it comes to, you know, organizations, especially like smaller, I shouldn't say smaller martial arts organizations, but I guess organizations that aren't necessarily like style-wide organizations, right? There's a common misconception that, you know, if there is a board, that it's, you know, just, you know, a bunch of people saying that they're, you know, a board president and this and that and the other. But, you know, for PAMA, being on the board, you know, is a great responsibility. So, you know, Patty, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the offices on the PAMA board, a little bit of, you know, what the, you know, responsibilities are for those offices, what the terms are, you know, and kind of like, you know, what, you know, what they have to do to help get this organization's camps together, the whole organizational events and stuff like that.
Sure. Well, the board right now is smaller than usual, but we have a president, a vice president, treasurer, and secretary, mm-hmm. as most people, and, you know, those are pretty standard duties. But as far as coordinating camp, we really work as a team to make decisions. The biggest thing is trying to figure the location for the next camp, because we try to move it so that it's fair for different people to be able to be close enough to be able to come without, you know, spending a lot of money. So once we get a location, then we have to have a teacher selection committee, because one of our missions is to keep it fresh and have diversity. So when we have our teacher selection committee, we hire teachers from several different styles, as many as possible. We want experts that we know are wonderful teachers to come back, but we also have a certain percentage of brand new teachers that is actually in our bylaws that we try and hire every year, so that we don't get stale or people don't go, oh, it's just the same old friends club,
right,
teaching and whatever. So it's amazing how every camp we find out that there's, you know, amazing instructors that we never even knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And so our network continues to grow, and we continue to be amazed at how many high-level women martial artists are out there. So then once we hire the women, then there's just, you know, the job of getting everyone registered, you know, getting a logo for the camp, getting the t-shirts, creating the camp book, getting everything in, so that by the time everyone arrives here, it's a smooth running ship, and they get a camp book, they have a schedule that shows them 3 to 4 classes are available every session to choose from. And I think for most people, the hardest thing is trying to decide what class to go to.
Definitely. I'm looking at the book right now, and I'm going, I'm broadcasting when I could be in class.
I know. I was on my way class, and then I stopped to do this, because then I'm like, well, anyway, it's just really hard. And I, the first year I came myself as a camper, I marked what I wanted to do. When I got here, I read everything, the whole book, the first night, and then the next day, every time I got to a class, it was like, well, I thought I wanted to do that, but I really want to do this.
Yeah.
And so you change your mind, and you change your mind back. And I think what it illustrates is that it's not like there's just one or two good classes that everybody wants to go to. It's really hard to choose. And I think that is because the board has set in place, even though we rotate board members' terms every 3 years, there is, you know, a good base of information and a tablet, you know, set up of how to do this so that we don't get stale and old and, you know, dry up.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, from what I've seen over the last 5 years, is that, you know, when one camp ends, the board's, boom, back at it right afterwards, planning throughout the whole year and, you know, making sure that meetings and this and that and the other. That way it's not all like together in one fell swoop like a week before camp. And I think that's what makes this organization so great, in that, you know, the board is so dedicated to making sure that the organization not only runs smoothly throughout the year and promotes events, you know, throughout the whole organization and stuff, but when this comes to a culmination at camp, that it's just so smooth that no one knows how it, you know, it, when people don't notice that there's any trouble going on, then you know the board is strong. So you guys rock.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, Patty. I'll let you get to class.
Yes, I am going to go to class.
Awesome.
So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you,
Patty. Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Whee! Have fun.
Yeah, blast.
Yeah.
Now, you can tell me probably, you probably
sure.
know this. How long is the term of office on the Palma board?
It's 3 years. And,
3 years, okay.
Yeah, so it's only 3 years as opposed to, like, you know, like presidential term, right? You know, four, that kind of thing.
4 years.
Yeah. Let me, I'm going to change everything back now. My mic is being funky, so let me go ahead and I'm changing everything back now.
Why is it that a mic will go, because your mic's sounding pretty good on the boom mic, but why does the mic diminish in sound quality when you go into a handheld?
You know, I don't know. Because I thought this was an omnidirectional mic, but it I'm guessing it's probably a unidirectional mic.
Unidirectional instead.
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm, like, right up on it, like, for example, if I'm right up on it, like, right now, it sounds okay. Right?
Right. Right.
If I sit back in my chair, it sounds a little different.
Oh, that's completely different, yeah. But it doesn't
yeah.
sound near the quality that your boom mic does.
Yeah. And, Until I figure out a way to make the boom to be able to have both boom mics going on with two headsets without the feedback, then unidirectional mic should be okay. You know, I mean, the unidirectional mic I'm using now is only about $30. You know, eventually what I want to do is save up for $100 desk mic, so that way next time we're broadcasting live from, like, Masters Hall of Fame or whatever, we just have this thing, you know, on the desk, so that way we both can have a headset and we're fine and we're good to go and it sounds just like our boom mics. But in the meantime, this will work.
Oh, it'll work fine.
Yeah.
And I also
so,
want to have show, what do they call them, show flags that fit around the mic on all four sides with our logo on it.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days I want to get. Yeah, I do want to get that eventually too. But yeah, the term of office for any PAMA member is 3 years, and within those 3 years, you know, anyone can nominate you for the board. So, you know, if you decide to accept, you really gotta think. You know, can I commit to being able to do these periodic meetings? And usually the meetings are done via Google Hangout, so you don't necessarily have to drive anywhere. A lot of phone calls and stuff like that, you know. But just to be able to take the time, like an hour every, like, other, you know, month or something, or an hour a month to talk with the board about possible venues for next year's camp, you know, what to do to recruit more members into the organization, events other than camp. You know, helping
now,
network
tell,
other women.
Tell me then, people, what's the territory of PAMA?
The territory of PAMA is primarily the Pacific states, you know, hence Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists. So, California.
Right, but isn't it the Pacific North? I mean, isn't it like Northern California? Because I saw something that said it's primarily for people located in, like, Sacramento area.
No, not necessarily. That's where it actually kind of started. So I guess there's a difference. It actually kind of started in where was it? Yeah, it was like Sacramento, and that was the first gathering in 1978. But back then it was called the West Coast Women's Martial Artist Training Weekend. So, but it's primarily open to all the states. Now I got to put my mic back together because we've got the board. President. We've got the PAMA president. Presidente. Hi, Ellen. We've got the presidente with us. So I'm going to put the boom mic here. And on. I know the pressure's on. Just got to make sure I put the right mic on here. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Welcome to my world.
So go and put that on. And let's, Bob, can you say something real quick just to see if we're, if we're, if we're,
I hear a voice.
Yeah, that's Sifu Bob. You're actually going to be talking into that thing right there.
Oh, not that, not this
not
thing?
Not that thing, yeah.
Okay.
So you can, like, put that up.
Marshmallow.
Yeah,
okay.
There, yeah. Hello,
all
Bob.
Right.
So we've got President Helen Yee of the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists joining us. So, yay.
I'm glad to be here.
Yay. First off, can you tell us just a little bit about your background in martial arts, how long you've been in PAMA? How you got on to be the president?
Yeah, that's a story in itself.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay,
please,
well,
tell us.
I'm actually from Columbus, Ohio, and my background in martial arts is I've done taekwondo for many years. I actually got into a competitive level and decided I needed to branch out into other martial arts systems. So my current system now is a Burmese martial arts called Bondo. And it's a very eclectic system was the draw for me. What else? Yeah, and how I got to PAMA is I won the raffle at another women's organization called the National Women's Martial Arts Federation, which is held on the Midwest Coast? Or
I think so,
call
yeah.
That. And so I got to come in 2010 with my first experience of PAMA. And I really, really loved the energy because it was just such a more intimate setting in the fact that it's a smaller camp, probably half the size of Special Training, which is the Women's Martial Arts Federation that's usually on the other coast of the country. Just loved it. I ended up rooming with one of the board members, and they were kind of just talking out loud about certain situations. I said, well, and I own a business, so I said, well, how about doing it this way? And next thing I know, they're asking me to be on the board. And I said, well, I'm not from here. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. So it didn't matter. So I was glad to come on board just because I just had such an amazing experience connecting with so many wonderful women martial artists here, such as Rastita and many trainers. So that's how I got here on the board.
Wow. Just like, bam, that same
it was.
Year.
It was like, bam. I'm like,
it was
wow.
Wow.
It
pretty
was.
Fast.
And I remember
so cool.
meeting you. It just out of the blue, all of a sudden, we ended up having lunch. That was during the Seattle camp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it 2010?
That was 2010. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Or 2011?
No, that was Menlo. Isn't that in California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Menlo, right?
Right.
Okay. So maybe it was 2011.
It was anyway.
It was a few years ago, but, you know, I remember meeting her. I forgot how. We just ended up going to lunch.
Yes.
We took you to Dick's Drive-In. She had her first Big Burger here.
Yeah.
Which is a Seattle establishment where, you know, if you come to Seattle, you have to try their burgers. It's like greasy hangover food. It's the best. But first year, and now you're our president, and great choice, by the way.
Thank you very much.
President and stuff. Now,
I'm honored.
Thank you, because I was just telling Sifu Bob a little bit about the board, that it's not just, that camps are not just something that are thrown together in like 2 weeks.
Right. Our board is actually an active board. We're not just an honorary board members. We actually do the actual work. So there is action involved. And it's actually been a very good experience in that way because it's not just all, you know, delegating committees to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the thick of really engaging our minds as well as our physical energy in the process.
Mm-hmm. Now,
how does that work out for you since you're so far away from the actual board itself? Do you do everything
right,
by phone?
Great. Yes, we do conference calls, and that is a great question because I think if people can see that I'm so far away from the West Coast, that it is possible for people to also be on the board that are more of ideas that work in our because I am the CFO for my company. I own a alternative medicine school in Columbus, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of my experience is from having that my own school for 25 years, and I brought to the table a lot of things that would help revenue-wise, promotion, marketing, and financial stability, which I don't know if you shared this with Tito about the fact that, you know, Palma was kind of struggling financially
mm-hmm.
about 3 years ago, and now we're totally in the green. We have an all-inclusive camp again,
mm-hmm.
which is what the members totally wanted,
mm-hmm.
you know. We were at a cafeteria style where everybody was eating on their own, and the facilities was on a university.
A gym, yeah.
A gym.
It was a gym.
And the request from the members was, let's have it back in a natural environmental setting. So we're out here in hundreds of acres.
Hundreds of acres of trees and
yeah.
trees and
uh-huh. and a beautiful
and bugs. And, yeah.
beautiful facility. I know you're in an A-frame
cabin. I'm in an A-frame cabin.
Yeah.
And loving it.
Yeah.
Up
and
in my little loft.
So members had choices of upgrades to different lodging, and so that made it really appealing. But the all-inclusive really is a lot of Palma, because being able to share meals together
mm-hmm.
and be together in that way, and that's the hook for me. The hook is that we are such a close-knit, once we get everybody together at camp,
mm-hmm.
That's where the magic happens,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just in the training halls or in the, you know, doing the classes, but eating together and playing together and
mm-hmm.
having fun with the demonstrations. Last night was phenomenal.
That was phenomenal.
And by the way, I loved your bullwhip demonstration. I was like, oh my God, I got it.
I'm wondering if anyone got that on video.
I'm sure. Yeah, I saw everybody. Everybody had their video cameras out on that one.
Can't wait to see that. But yeah. No, would you say that, because I was briefly telling Sifu Bob about the village atmosphere, and that, you know, if we could have a camp like village, you know, scenario every year, then definitely it would be great. Not that I have anything against, you know, conference style, you know, type of stuff, but you're right. It's where the magic happens, you know, when you get this many people together, eating together. And, you know, and it's fun because it's like, you know, like this morning, you know, it's kind of like I came in late to breakfast and I just like plopped down at any table. And then we just started talking and it clicked. There was no, you know, you're welcome anywhere. You can sit anywhere. And that, you know, a lot of times that's missing from either mixed seminars or unfortunately just male seminars, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's incredible.
Well, our theme this year is Warrior Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided on that being the theme because we as women, we have this spirit of the ability to have the courage and the compassion
mm-hmm.
to continue to train and share in our knowledge of the different disciplines that we're exposed to at this camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful theme that's kind of been shared and,
mm-hmm.
and you can see it
right
through the last few days of camp.
Right on.
Yeah.
Now, what would you like to see next year for next year's camp? Any particular different or something that you'd like to see added
mm-hmm.
to camp next year?
You know, the exposure that we have a lot of new campers here this year.
This year, a lot.
I know,
yeah.
And I would love to see that continue to move forward into more people know about Palma.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a lot of word of mouth. It's social media. We've been able to connect with other women organizations and also some of the mixed martial arts schools out there
mm-hmm.
that are telling their women martial artists about Palma.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we did some regional promotion,
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that be involvement of tournaments or fundraising events and things like that for people that don't have the financial resources.
Mm-hmm.
We can offer scholarship money and funds.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to see more possibility in the future of both organizations PAMA, and National Women's Martial Arts Federation coming together and maybe putting an event together?
I think that would be really, really cool. I haven't been to any event of the, what's the acronym of that? National But I've not yet gone to one of their events. Would love to. I'm looking forward to actually going to the Association of Women's Martial Arts Instructors event. In February, all these acronyms.
And that's another phenomenal sister organization that is specific to martial arts instructors and trainers.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see the National Women's NWMAF.
NWMAF.
NWMAF. I would love to see.
That just rolls off your tongue.
It does. NWMAF. I don't know. I'm trying to like say the acronym. It's like PAMA, AME, NWMAF. I would love to see a joint camp or a joint event because that would just be incredible. Incredible. Now, do you see that there's like a lot of overlap between the two, like as far as membership, people that are in dual membership?
I don't know if there's a lot of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm more from that organization.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason why I came to PAMA was because the sister organizations decided to be able to give a free camp
mm-hmm.
to someone on the opposite coast. And
very cool.
Yeah, and it was really cool. And so, otherwise, I would have probably not ever attended
mm-hmm.
PAMA. And here I am, the president, which,
Yay!
I'm excited. I'm really happy that I got to experience it on this particular level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've met a lot of people.
Krista, can I ask you a couple questions?
Okay.
Since with Rusty, I just can't seem to get a word in edgewise ever.
Oh, shut up.
Wow. Who knows you?
Yeah.
You have a certain skill that you bring to PAMA, being your business owner, is the mm-hmm. then this is just the first question, is the board, do they have all different skill sets to bring something to the table? And two, there's a membership meeting at noon. Can you tell our listeners about it?
Yeah. It definitely helps that there's a diversity of people that serve on the board and have different, what you want to call qualifications, mine being the financial aspects and promotion because of the experience I've had from my own business. But we have people that are IT specialists, so they can really keep up-to-date information on our websites, which is kind of the bloodline
mm-hmm.
of allowing people to know what's going on with PAMA throughout the year, and not just at camp. We have people that are geographically in the location of where the camp will be held, wherever it is decided. So it's very important that we have at least one board member that is local so that they can, one, help search out the prime locations, also like ordering T-shirts from a company that's locally so that, you know, somebody's not hauling it from somewhere. Other things, you know. So, and it's a collective of decisions and ideas that bring about the collaboration of a camp. And so I can't say that you have to have a requirement, but it's very, very helpful. It's a bonus, you know.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what was your other question? Or
tell us about the membership meeting coming up at noon. What's
about?
Is that where the decisions are made and so forth?
Yes. And actually, the membership meeting is everybody that's at camp attends the meeting, and the board will go ahead and go down a list of things that we want to share with the membership, such as the financial situation and reports that are what the board needs to know, members need to know, and also future board members that want to possibly participate or be a part of. So we have four active members stepping down this year. me including. We have a 3-year term, and that kind of keeps it interesting and kind of brings in new energy. But also, talking about sometimes, we try to talk less about strategic planning because I think Palma has a very solid, good foundation of that. And so a lot of the majority of the meeting will be, because we have 4 people stepping off, will be nominations and so forth like that. And also, where would the next future Palma camp be for next year? Things like
okay,
that.
Okay, now with the nominations for the board, are the voting take place immediately, or do you just get the people in line to vote for?
Well, we do ask the members of the of Palma if they want, if they are interested, to either stand up or have somebody nominate them. So I can say, I would like to nominate Vestida to serve on the board, and she has an option of denying the request or saying yes, I would be happy. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Then we take a vote to see if we want that person to be on.
Oh, so you do vote right away then, instantaneously.
I believe
What is the selection process like for the instructors that you bring on every year?
What was that question?
He wants to know what the
selection process.
I guess like the teacher selection. What does that entail?
Oh, the teacher selection.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's different from the board selection.
Yeah.
So we have somebody that's usually on the board that's responsible for the coordination of teacher selection, and so they will get a committee of people that have known Palma or have been going to Palma for many years, so they know the trainers and they know the people that would be good trainers, good teachers, and they can select. I think this year there was probably 4 4 people on the teacher selection training.
I was one of them.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And did that go pretty smoothly for
it
you?
It did.
There any
we had to no conflict. We had to
challenges?
Make sure that we had to go through everybody's application. And you know, when you apply, it's not just limited to people that are already in Palma, right?
Oh,
the idea is that you have to get the word out, right? If you want to spread the word of Palma. Is, you know, you ask other people that are not in Palma, go, hey, you know, this is what's going on. You know, would you be interested in being a trainer for this, blah, blah, blah. And then if they put in their application, we had a lot of applications this year.
Nice.
And we had to go through all of them. And, you know, we had to make the decisions like, okay, is this going to be too much grappling? There's not enough striking. We need to find a really good balance of teachers, new teachers, experienced teachers. You know, that kind of thing, just to make sure, like Patty was talking about earlier, that way it doesn't look like, you know, it's the popular friends club type of thing.
See,
right?
That would not work in a men's organization.
No,
that would not work.
Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it?
And have a civilized conversation about artisans. It just wouldn't happen.
Okay, because everyone's got their own idea of who would be a best trainer for something,
absolutely.
Right?
Where you guys, the women, are just more open-minded and more willing to listen, and it's weird to hear a guy say that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not to say that guys are not open-minded. It's just like, you know, you get enough guys together that have strong opinions on who would be best to teach, like MMA. So, you know, so if you say, okay, who would be the best person to teach at this one camp to teach MMA, then you'll get like a bunch of people from different camps going, oh, well, you know, we want, you know, Frank Shamrock, we want da-da-da-da, we want da-da-da, you know, and there's always going to, you know, he's a pussy and all this other kind of stuff, you know. You're always going to get like stuff like that, whereas the whole idea behind Palma is, number one, because it's hard to find quality women instructors anymore, right, because it's still a primarily male-dominated activity, yeah?
Right,
so because
think about
it's
what it was like when Palma was first started.
Yeah,
in
the mid-70s, it was tough, you know. And
that was almost impossible to find qualified women instructors back at that point.
Yeah, and that's why it was so small.
And we actually have two of the founding mothers here
mm-hmm.
at PAMA.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to get them on.
Yeah.
There's Terry.
Terry.
You want me to go grab her?
Yeah, let's go ahead and grab her.
We'll do that. Hey, thank you. I really appreciate sharing what I know. And
yeah.
Well,
do hang out because we have one mic. I mean, we have one pair of the headphones and stuff like that. But it'd be great
yeah.
if you guys could, like, talk together
okay, great.
About it. But,
well, I truly think that the diversity is a big plus for us.
Yeah.
To have many different...
Right.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Well, Master Terry's on the phone right now, so we'll be getting off in about maybe 2 minutes.
Two
here.
Minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
So
but she's wrapping up.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah. We have one of our founding mothers of PAMA here. Please have a seat. Woo!
Well, hello.
Hello. We're talking to this mic right here. We've got Master Terry Giammartino. Joining us today, one of the founding mothers of PAMA. So,
yes.
And yesterday you did this like awesome skit about what it was like way back.
Back in the day. Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day. And we've got a little bit of time left, so I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about, you know, the beginnings of PAMA. A little bit of what it was like. We don't have all that much time, just getting close to lunch and stuff like that, but That would be great.
Well, gee, back in the day, we're talking about in the late 70s,
mm-hmm.
There was a loosely organized group of senior women. I don't mean senior in age, but senior in
mm-hmm.
rank
mm-hmm.
at the time. And they just got together up in Northern California. One of the women had a summer cabin up there, and so she knew the area. And they would go up there and they would just train together, just keep their skills up.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, you know, there were not a whole lot of women's schools. The women's movement was just sort of like emerging.
Oh, right.
And so it was a way for them to just come together and, you know, train. And
uh-huh.
so as a yellow belt, I was there with some of my friends and I was really happy about the women's community. I was training in a women's self-defense school, and I was new to the area. And so I just conversed with some of my friends and said, gee, you know, this is like a great event, and there's so many inspiring people here. We need to build this into a larger organization. We need to make it something that has more accessibility for more people,
mm-hmm.
Get more women into martial arts here, and use this talent in a better way. So I don't know why at such a young age or such a young rank that we sort of like decided to pull in the reins and take control, but we did. We did, and we worked really hard as a small group. Nobody got paid. It was simply a labor of love. It
mm-hmm.
was just a passion that we all had, and we got a lot out of it, and that was our payback. And so slowly we started to form a group that became more well-known, and we started to develop a 501c membership,
mm-hmm.
You know, nonprofit status. So we got legitimized. We created a board of directors. We sort of collectively agreed back in the day who should do what, and it was decided that I should be the president and
mm-hmm.
other people should be secretaries and treasurers and members at large. And we built regional representations. We had a board of representatives that would go out and try to solicit women in their communities
mm-hmm.
so that we could bring more women in from other areas besides Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out first to the women's schools, and then we started reaching out to mixed schools where men were teaching, trying to provide opportunities for women who were always going to be below their male instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Even as they rose in rank, they were always going to be second, third, or fourth in command.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to create leadership opportunity, and we wanted to network with one another, and we wanted to share resources,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to give women the confidence to be able to teach across different platforms of style and give women opportunity to advance as a result. And
right
so those
on.
Were the early days.
Right on. Sifu Bob, do you have any questions for Master Giammartino?
You know, that's a very interesting beginning, Master Terry. how easy was it in the development of PAMA and in what it's become today? You had mentioned about women not owning a lot of schools back then, and people, Rusty and I, were just discussing it. Well, how easy was it up front to find the quality instructor that you were looking for in the late 70s, early 80s?
Well, in some ways, I was very lucky because I had just moved to San Francisco, and I joined a women's self-defense class. So it was all female instructors. And I met my first Shotokan teacher there, my first jiu-jitsu teacher there. And the woman who was teaching me self-defense was just basically a hard stylist that had developed this sort of eclectic system that she was sharing with self-defense being the primary motivator for the group. And so through that networking, I was immediately experiencing women instructors. I wasn't like one woman in a school full of men, which I was later. When I lost those instructors and I started studying Shotokan Karate exclusively, I was the only woman in my school. And I was being taught by an ex-Marine, and I was dealing with guys, you know. I dressed in the bathroom, and I, you know, they had the dressing room, and, you know, I had to deal with all of that. But because I loved what I was doing, I managed to muddle my way through and stick with it. In terms of how hard was it to find other people, being in the Bay Area, it's just, you know, there's a plethora of alternative everything. And so it was easier, I think, to find those resources than if I had been living in a small town in Iowa or, you know, in other places. So because of that, I think it gave us the confidence at an early age, because we were in our 20s, you know, early 20s, and we were low in rank, you know, relative to where we've all come to now, 30, 40 years later. It just gave us the courage to just, our youthfulness let us follow our dreams without being too practical about anything. And I think all of those things sort of came together at the right time to help us stay motivated. And it was a social group, you know. It was, we gave each other so much socially. We would meet at my house and other people's houses for meetings, and we would be on conference calls on the phone, and it was almost like another job that we had, but it was one that we relished because it was so rewarding.
Well, Master Terry, you know, I found it very interesting. I was at a seminar up in the Bay Area that was hosted by Brendan Lye at the time. I found it very interesting. I visited Golden Gate Park on a Sunday on my way out of town, and the artists that George Hsu, the Adam Sues, they all get together and teach in that park, and I was mesmerized by it in the Bay Area. Now, coming up in a women's only organization, has there been any stereotypes? Because Rusty said she was going to talk about this, but we really haven't had the chance. Were there any stereotypes, any hurdles that you had to overcome?
Well, yes. First of all, let me say that my partner used to study with Adam Hsu, so I'm very familiar with the Panhandle in San Francisco. Every Sunday morning and under the ferry building structure when it was raining. So, and actually at one point, Adam Hsu had asked me if I would train with him, which I was very,
very cool.
Honored by. But I was very into what I was doing with my other instructors at the time, so I didn't choose that path. In terms of the stereotypes, it was hard to be taken seriously by a lot of people. When you said you were in an all-women's school and you were taught by a woman, the assumption was that the quality of the training was less than. And obviously that wasn't true. And as we progressed and we got out there, I trained in schools with, as I said, all men. And then I opened my own school and I started training both men and women. And then eventually I started teaching children. And so I feel like the more all of us have done that, the more we have legitimized our rank and our skills. And for the kind of men that would still find us to be inferior in some way because we are perhaps not as physically strong, we've overcome that with our precision and our technique and our understanding of fundamental concepts mm-hmm. that you know roll over into everything that we do.
Well, I find that very interesting that you said that, because the men, because we are stronger and so forth, the women, and Russ and I have discussed this prior, that the women's techniques have to be better, more
absolutely.
Precise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not discounting it. It makes you guys that much better than we are.
Well, you know, I have big men in my school. I mean, I have guys that are like, you know, over 6 feet and 250, 60 mm-hmm. pounds. And, you know, I can't throw them the way I can throw someone my own size or someone who's 150 mm-hmm. pounds. But they know that I can hurt them, you know, and that's not the point in the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hurting people for self-defense, you know where to go, you know when to go,
mm-hmm.
you know how hard you have to hit. That's a different kind of intention than a learning environment
mm-hmm.
where you're trying to provide a safe and supportive environment for people to explore.
Right.
And so if you have men who are not into providing that environment,
mm-hmm.
then you really don't want them in your school. Those are the kind of men that you would have to hurt in order to be successful at controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dojo, we're not trying to hurt people. We're trying to learn. But we want to learn to the point where we can hurt people if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
But our goal
right.
is not to hurt people.
Exactly.
So it's the whole martial arts yin yang. I learned to fight so I don't have to fight.
Right.
You know, and it's that confidence building that allows you to walk through life differently, so you're less likely to be targeted as a victim, and you're more likely to be able to be useful to someone, yourself or anyone else who is being victimized.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining
well,
us.
Well, I'm glad I
oh,
stopped
my goodness.
By.
Yeah.
This is lovely.
I did, you know, it was funny because, like, you walked in and Helen goes, it'd be great if we had one of the founding mothers. Oh, look,
there's Terry walking by.
There's Terry walking by. So
that's just
awesome.
Because I finished teaching and I was coming to check out Sensei Laurie's class.
Oh, well,
yeah,
yeah, please do. But, yeah, and we'll see you later.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you
have
so
a great
much.
Day.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you.
And that was Master Terry Giammartino, one of the founding mothers of the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists. Wow. That was awesome. And that couldn't have come at a better time, too. I mean.
Oh, what a segue. That was great.
I know, right? And by the way, here she is. I thought that was pretty cool. Well, we have about 15 minutes left in our broadcast. So for anyone that.
Now, Steve,
and
where
our phone
is
number,
the membership meeting going to be?
The membership meeting is going to be in the dining hall. And the dining hall is just across the way from where I'm at right now. So basically all I really got to do is put my computer in my bag and head across the way for lunch. But the lunch and the membership meeting, actually, now that I look at the schedule, doesn't start until 12:30.
Okay.
So we're good. You know, we still have like 17 minutes or whatever. But
well,
for anyone
up there, you posted a couple pictures and the food looks very good.
Dude, it's like the best food I've had at any village camp ever.
Really?
Like incredible. Yeah. I mean, like we got here Friday. We had dinner. It was like barbecue. Like grilled pork and like potatoes and salads and all sorts of sides, and it was great, and vegan and gluten free choices as well for people that have dietary restrictions.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool, and they made great accommodations for people with, you know, dietary, you know, I mean, like I said, dietary restrictions, like gluten-free, vegetarian, halal meat, you know, religious restrictions and stuff like that. Everyone, yeah, it was like incredible. And the food is amazing. Like yesterday, there was like a full-on turkey dinner. And it wasn't like the fake processed turkey. This was real turkey.
Cut off the bird, really? Because it looked so good. It looked processed. It looked too good when you showed me the picture last night.
Yeah, well, everything was breast meat,
right? So there, you know, there were no drumsticks and wings and stuff like that, but everything was breast meat. But it was real, and the mashed potatoes were incredible, and the brown gravy was incredible, and you know, and it was just like full on turkey dinner.
Yeah, well, then tell me, does Palma bring the food in and cook it themselves, or is that sort of part of the camp package where they've got camp employees, they supply the food and so forth?
Yeah, for this particular, since this is a retreat center, this place actually has a staff. There is a staff specifically for the dining hall. It's like a restaurant, huge kitchen, the whole nine yards. The lodge has its own staff for like when people leave, then, you know, the lodge's staff come in and they make sure everything's clean and stuff like that. You know, the main auditorium is incredible. The acoustics in here are wonderful. They have their own soundboard. I'm looking at it right now. It's like a huge mixing board that I wish I had.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my God, I could so use this mixing board.
But let's talk a little bit about the accommodations. You're in a cute little A-frame cabin, not very large, mm-hmm. I forgot who it was talking about upgrade.
Yeah.
What about the accommodations for any women martial artists that may be listening that may want to join Palma?
Well, you know, it depends on the venue. For this year, the particular venue is Aldersgate Retreat in Turner, Oregon. And this particular venue had A-frame cabins and then larger cabins that I don't remember if they have their own bathroom or whatever, but I don't think so. But and then there's the main lodge. The main lodge, if I remember correctly, has separate rooms in it. So it is kind of like a mini motel. And that's where the instructors and board members are. Now, you can upgrade to the main lodge, but, you know, I signed up too late. I signed up, like, a week before camp. And so I didn't get a chance to upgrade. So I'm in this cute little A-frame that sleeps up to four people. There's three people. There's four people in my cabin, and I'm up in the loft, and it's cozy, you know, and it's all we need, because, like, you know, really, you know, do we really need fancy digs and a TV and stuff like that? No, because we're in classes all day, you know, and by the time you're done with dinner, you really just want to go to bed.
We're talking on your way down. I didn't realize you were bringing people. How many people did you bring?
I brought one student with me. I was hoping to bring five students this year, but they could not get the time off. But I think it would have been great. It would have been their first time going. But the student I did bring, my student Blake, it's her first time also, and she is having a blast.
Now, when you become a member of PAMA, let me put it this way. When you go to a camp, do they have different prices for members and non-members?
Yes.
Do they make it enticing to become a member?
Yeah. Because, you know, if you are a member of PAMA, and you can, like, sign up to be a member of PAMA the same day that you register for camp. If you're a member of PAMA, the camp costs anywhere between $150 to almost $200 less. Depending on whether or not you sign up before the early bird deadline or not, even after the early bird deadline, the non-member price to member price, it was a difference of about $120. It's not much, but, you know, you do get other perks if you're a member. Like, you get the quarterly newsletters, you get response, I guess, emails about any new developments happening in PAMA. You get to have access to all the other PAMA members' contact information for schools or whatever. So if you're going to travel somewhere and you want to visit another PAMA member school, you just sign in as a PAMA member on the PAMA website, and you have access to everybody's contact information. Otherwise, if you're a non-member, you cannot get to that. So I think it's, you know, It's a great organization that not only puts on it. Now, let me back up a little bit. Palm is not just an organization that just puts on a camp every year. Our goal is to be, you know, active throughout the year, all throughout, you know, the times where we're not having camp, so that way we can connect people to different studios around the country. So, you know, if someone hears about PAMA and they email one of the board members and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for a studio in, I don't know, Ohio, for example. Well, then, you know, if other board members or PAMA members, you know, see this message, they might go, well, I know somebody, you know. And, like, for example, that's how our president, Helen Yee, heard about us. And now she's like our president. So it's kind of like, whoa, okay. You know, so.
Right. Well, what's the yearly dues?
The yearly dues are, let me double check here. Because I just get it taken out of my bank account. Let me see. Where do I go? Renew membership. Here we go. Let's hope I don't renew it again. Well, that means I have to sign it, but I know it's under $100. Definitely, it's under $100 for the year. I think I paid $60, $70.
So it's definitely worth being a member that it costs you $100 or $120 less to join the camp as a member.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
pays for your membership.
Pretty much. Yeah, it all overpays for the membership, and you know, and again, it gives you all these resources. You get your own member page. You can buy, you know, of course, the PAMA logo merchandise and stuff like that. But then we're also affiliated with other, you know, satellite women's groups also. Like, for example, the Association of Women's Martial Arts Instructors, the National Women's Martial Arts Federation, and then the original Sacramento Area Women's Martial Arts, which is open to any woman over 16. We've got affiliate schools in Canada. I mean, there's the Jan Parker Arts in BC, and now we're going to be adding Pacific Wave Jiu-Jitsu, which is Laurie O'Connell School up in Surrey and Vancouver, Canada. California, there's a whole bajillion bunches of schools, affiliate schools, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Washington. I got to double check to make sure I'm here. Yes, I am. You know, and just incredible stuff. And they're also affiliates for, you know, other services that you can buy from. So you can buy stuff from other members, like Master Jan Parker owns a glass studio. Wave Jewelry is owned by Julie Kirby. It's just all sorts of stuff. It's basically like the one-stop hub for women's martial artists. it's pretty cool. So yes, do be a member. If you're a woman out there, women or girls. Now this is just not just for, you know, grown-ups, because, you know, we've seen lots of teenagers here, young women, you know, 16, 17, 13, 14. You know, if you're a woman, or if you're a teenager, if you're a girl, you know, do consider coming to camp and meeting other women that have the same passion you do, and knowing that there's going to be no ego, no pressure to win, no pressure to do better than anyone else. It's just, you know, get together and learn, you know. You sit down at a breakfast table, and to tell you the truth, you don't know who's been doing martial arts 50 years and who hasn't. That's how equal everybody is. You know, I mean, Master Terry Giammartino, Master Corey Great, which is another one of the founding mothers, you know, you sit down with them and you think, oh my goodness, you know, what wonderful people, until you find out what rank they are. And you're like, have you been doing martial arts for how long? 45, 50 years, what? You know, it's amazing.
Right, right. Well, it's just like when I met Bill Wallace in 2009.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the nicest guys I have ever met in martial
yeah.
arts.
Yeah.
He has no ego. He's been doing it 60 years. My guy is super Bill Wallace.
Yeah.
So this sounds like a really cool organization to belong to. Now, I have to ask this. What about the accommodations for the younger people? Are they put in a cabin by themselves? Do their parents come with them, their mothers, rather? That sort of thing. Or do you know?
Good question. If the teenagers are with a parent, well, of course, a female parent or a guardian,
right,
then you can, of course, you can request to be in the same cabin, of course, right? In fact, I think it's mandatory in that case. However, if for some reason the parent cannot go, or the parent is not, you know, martial arts or whatever, but the kid is and blah, 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 of course you would have to go through the whole, like, parental permission thing. So that way your teacher or your senior classmate who is of age will act as a guardian to you. And you have to have that permission slip with you at all times. You know, there is a waiver that you have to sign if you are acting as the guardian for someone who's under 18. Usually another part of the waiver is sent to the actual parent or legal guardian before it all happens. So that way everything is taken care of. That way there is no, you know, well, I didn't say she could go type of thing, right? So it's great. There's, you know, several teens here this year. Last year there was, if I remember correctly, there was a lot more than this year. And that was really good to see, you know, in fact, last year there was a 10-year-old that did classes with everyone. And it was incredible. Just wonderful, wonderful group. The accommodations were just fine. Even if you are in physical need of assistance, you know, any camp will do its best to make facilities workable for people with disabilities.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have American Sign Language interpreters and International Sign Language interpreters. You know, if you're in a wheelchair, you know, you are pretty much guaranteed that you are in, at least here, that you're in the main lodge. Because in the A-frame cabins, those are not wheelchair accessible. But yeah, you know, and so far everywhere we've been, it's been open to everybody. You know, my first camp, we saw several people that were training in wheelchairs. And I tell you what, you know, there is no such thing as the word disability when you're here at PAMA, because these women will kick your ass with their wheelchairs if they're, you know, it's like incredible. So we only have about 2 minutes left. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know where all the time went, Bob.
This was a fine show. Oh, my God.
The absolutely fun.
Do not forget to say hello from Doug Wong.
I will make sure that I say hello to Sifu Angela Lee. But real quick before we go, I just want to do another quick wrap-up on the rest of the instructors here at PAMA. So we've got Sensei Joanne Factor, Maria De La Cruz, which I mentioned at the beginning Master Terry Giamartino, who we just talked to, Sifu Angela Lee, who is Doug Wong's student, right? Yeah, student.
Right.
And she's teaching building chi to enhance your heart style practice, chi awareness, and how to use chi to heal. And we're going to probably be going over here for just a couple of minutes, so we're going to be going over time here. So listeners, we have two listeners currently listening live right now. So listeners, we'll be going off the air in about 1 minute, but please make sure that you listen to the rest of the show archive. You can just go to the same link and go to the archive and pass on the link to any women martial artists you may know. Let them know about PAMA, but we'll be going off the air here in about a minute and 15 seconds, but listen to the archive.
Let's, in case they don't get a chance to listen to the archive show, let's real quick give them the website where to go to join and that
yes.
sort of thing.
Let's do that. If anyone has wants to join, just go to pawma.org, pawma.org, pawma.org.
You'll find all the information about PAMA, and please register as a member. You won't regret it. If you're a woman or girl in the martial arts, please do consider joining PAMA. All right. And we'll be going off the air in about 30 seconds, so please listen to the archives. Okay. We also have Sifu Debbie Leung that's going to be teaching. So lots of cool classes there. Sensei Laurie O'Connell, of course, is teaching. Sifu Jen Resnick, Sifu Sonia Richardson, Sensei Nikki Smith, who is teaching right now, Master Nadia Telsey, who is another founding mother, Sifu Valerie Lee, Sensei Alita Van Pet. Actually, she wasn't teaching. She was actually nominated as the 2013 PAMA Martial Artist of the Year. And we also want to give thanks to Aaron Huey, who is our medical staff and first medical responder. And we also want to thank everyone who actually donated not only their time, but also out of their own pockets to make sure that this particular camp happened. Big shout out to our PAMA board. So Helen Yee, who we talked to earlier, our president, Vice President Patty Olinger, who we talked to also at the beginning of the show. We didn't get a chance to talk to our treasurer, Roseanne Boudreau, but we also have our directors at large. We got Nakia Fenlin, Fenlin Antioquia, I think I said that right, who is our director at large. We've also got Justine Simpkins from Seattle. So Nakia and Justine are from Seattle. And from our Elder Council for the martial artists who have been with PAMA for anywhere from like 20 to 30 years, our Elder Council president, so to speak, is Sifu Michelle McVaden, also from Seattle, from Seven Star Women's Kung Fu. So wonderful, wonderful event going on. They're starting to wrap up classes right now, and so I think we should wrap up our own show unless you have any other questions, because now we're in archive recording.
We've done that before. A lot of time got over. I'm interested, real quick, before we wrap it up, tell me about the awards, because I noticed an award page on PAMA.org. What's that about? Is there one award given, Martial Arts of the Year? How does that go?
Yeah, there's usually two awards only that we give out, and that's the Lifetime Achievement Award, and that's just lifetime. There is no, like, platinum or silver or gold membership lifetime award or whatever. It's just Lifetime Achievement Award and Martial Artist of the Year. And both of these awards are, you know, very prestigious within the organization, because there are so many, you know, women that deserve both awards. So it's a matter of going through the, you know, right now we've only got like 100 women here for camp, but nationwide we've got like, if I remember correctly, we've got thousands of members. So it's a matter of like going through the membership and, you know, kind of like what we do for the Masters Hall of Fame. You know, we go through all of the members, and the board goes through all of the members, and we decide, okay, who's made a difference this year as an exceptional martial artist. So that would be the Martial Artist of the Year. You know, who's really made, you know, strides, and who's shown like all this passion, you know, all their lives and stuff. And it's hard to make these decisions like we have, you know, when we do stuff for Masters Hall of Fame. It's hard to make these decisions, but, you know, each year, you know, the board has to get together and go, okay, let's make a decision and pin it down to like only two people. And that's what makes the award so prestigious, is that
right, out
of thousands
of members, you have to pick two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And these two people, Sifu Valerie Lee and Sensei Alita Van Petten, are well-deserving. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about Sensei Alita, just a little bit, because she's a physician. She's an MD, but she was the doctor that helped my mother through her bout with breast cancer in the 1980s. And Sensei Alita was my doctor very briefly, too, while I was in high school. And, I didn't know she did karate. She knew I did, just because, but she never mentioned that she did. But Sensei Alita was just really, you know, had really wonderful bedside manner with my mom, because my mom was so scared. You know, you're 40 something, you find out you have breast cancer, you know, luckily they caught it at a stage where, you know, it would have saved her life, but there were no obvious signs, right? And if she had let it go for another 6 months, it would have gotten to the stage where she could have died. But something didn't feel right to mom. She saw a doctor, and thank God that Sensei Alita was her doctor, helped her through it, basically held her hand through the whole process, and took me through my whole high school year for, you know, athletic exams and stuff like that, you know, giving me my first women's exams, just for the lack of a better term. You know, I don't want to, like, right, you know, make gross out or anything. But, you know, and you know, I approached Sensei Alita last year, and I said, I don't know if you remember me, but she's like, no, I do. I remember you, and I remember your mom. Your mom was so scared. You know, all of you were very scared, and I'm glad I could help. But your mom was a beacon of you know, thinking, motivational thinking. If there was a Tony Robbins for women survivors, it would have been your mom. And I'm like, why, thank you.
Well, now that show.
What?
Since we are over time. That is a great segue into next week's show. What is next week's show about, Sifu?
Next week's show is all about, considering that it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and that it is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month, where we hope to have a couple guests that will be talking to us about breast cancer, being a survivor, tips to prevent breast cancer, tips when you're going through the recovery of breast cancer. But we're also going to be talking about the red flags of domestic violence, what to do, you know, where to get resources if you're a victim of domestic violence. And we'll also be talking about the psychology behind it, because it is more than just, you know, what a lot of people think it is. And the stereotypes differ whether or not you're a woman or you're a man. So we're going to also talk a little bit about that as well. So tune in next week, everyone, for our special show on breast cancer awareness and domestic violence awareness for the month of October. October is a very special awareness month. So, but yeah, so yeah, I just want to send that little short shout out to Dr. Alita Van Petten, who is the Martial Artist of the Year Award recipient for 2013 PAMA, and a shout out to Sifu Valerie Lee of the Bay Area. You know, you're kind of like your neck of the woods, but your neck of the state, I guess. You know, I guess she's northern, you're southern.
Right.
But California, nonetheless, who won the Lifetime Achievement Award. And she's been doing martial arts for a very long time, about as long as we have. So getting close to, like, you know, 40-something years. So pretty, you know, pretty cool. In fact, more, I think. Yeah, she started as a teen around the same time I did, but she was a teen. I was like 8, but still. But kudos to her, because you know what? She's one of the most skilled female Chinese martial artists that I've met. You know, as well, you know, along the same lines as Carrie Ogawa Wong, Dorisela Casillas, you know, Cynthia Rothrock, Cheryl Wheeler. You know, she. But as far as Chinese martial arts as a whole, you know, she's up there with Carrie Ogawa Wong, you know, and I hope to one of these days, you know, have Carrie consider coming out and doing another camp with us. I think that would be just incredible. So
that would be awesome, and I will be nominating her and both Wong Sifu's, Douglas Wong and Carrie Wong, into the Masters Hall of Fame again this year.
Very good.
They're very deserving of it. Good, they're great people. Doug Wong is a great proponent of the show. He's called in many, many times, and we really appreciate his backing, and we always back whatever he does, all his seminars in San Diego and Tijuana and
right,
all over the country. So if you're still listening, Sifu, thank you so much. I guess he's not listening, is he?
Well,
technically
we're off the air, but you know, there had been 5 people live that were listening that I could see. I don't know who the other 5 were, but they're probably people sitting in the cabins listening that aren't going to class or anything. But yeah, then, you know, thanks for, yeah, do you know, thanks for listening, Sifu Doug, and thanks for calling in. It's such a great honor for you to call in and really plug our organization of Pacific Association of Women's Martial Arts. It's an honor for you to plug it for us. Yeah, tune in next week, everyone, as we have our Spectre special October. Try saying October and special at the same time. You get Spectre, which is also Halloween. But our special October Awareness Month for Breast Cancer and Domestic Violence. So if you know anyone that is a survivor of breast cancer, is undergoing breast cancer treatment, has been healing from domestic violence situation and would like to share their tips, please let them know about our show. We air next week at, wait, is next week our forum show? Is that the, wait.
Next week is the third Sunday.
Yeah.
So that will be 11, our Sunday brunch show, 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. I'm still trying to work on my sister-in-law calling in. She's going through treatment right now. She had a single mastectomy about 2 months ago, and now she's just starting her chemo treatments. But she doesn't know how she'll be feeling because it's right after her next chemo treatment.
Right, right. Okay. Well, definitely I'll put some feelers out to see who'd be able to talk with us too. So anyhow, next week, 11 a.m. for our brunch show. And next week is, what date is that? I don't have my calendar with me, but
that's Sunday.
Well, yeah, but what's the date?
That's the 20th.
The 20th. So October 20th, listeners, you know, and it again, let us know on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page if there's anyone that you know that's undergoing chemo or treatment or living with healing from breast cancer or healing from domestic violence. Or now, keep in mind, everyone, that domestic violence is not just the physical; it can be the mental and the emotional too. The gaslighting, what we call gaslighting. So you know, if you know anyone that's undergoing that and want to share with other women what the warning signs are, please, please call in, because this is a perfect month to be aware of that. All right. Well, this is Restita De Jesus, and introduce yourself again, Bob.
And this is Sifu Bob Deal. We really had a great show today, and I really had a lot of fun doing it today for a great organization.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob, for being a great co-host, like as always. And thank you, listeners, for all your support. We couldn't do anything like this without you. And again, check out PAWMA.org, PAWMA.org, if you're a woman or a teen that is doing martial arts and really wants to get together with other women's martial artists for the same reason and the passion. So, all right. Well, we'll talk to everyone next week. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everybody.
Bye.